Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Before I begin this short series on Habakkuk, let me paint in the background. Habakkuk was a prophet, verse 1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. And he was a contemporary of Jeremiah, addressing Judah just before the captivity with Babylon. The northern kingdom, Israel, has gone into captivity under Assyria. And now Judah, following her sister's sins, is poised to enter captivity under the dominion of Babylon. Habakkuk, witnessing what's going on in the nation, in Judah, is deeply grieved and burdened. He has prayed about it. Verse 2, how long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? He's been crying out to God, and it seems that his prayers have not been answered. And Habakkuk, making his complaint to God, that's the first four verses here, verses 2 to 4 at least, then the Lord answers him, verses 5 to 11 of chapter 1. Habakkuk returns to his complaint. God replies to him again. Habakkuk prays, and then he comes to a closing, glorious psalm, I must call it, a paean of praise, facing the dilemma, the catastrophe, the absolute devastation that's going to come. Though the vine tree won't blossom, though there's no figs on the branches, though there's no animals in the stalls, though the byres are empty, yet I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will sing, I will rejoice in the Lord. And he triumphs in God at the end. Habakkuk, of course, was living in the time of the Old Covenant, and his prophecy and his prayers and his preachings are all couched in Old Covenant terms. But of course it's part of Scripture, and we have to nuance this, coming into the New Covenant, and apply it in New Covenant terms to ourselves. This man is not concerned so much with the individual, but with the nation of Judah. The application to us is not the nation of the United Kingdom, or these nations, or America, or Japan, or Australia, wherever it might be, Africa, or South America. The application to us is the ecclesia, the believers, the churches, the assemblies of God's people. It's not political application we must make out of Habakkuk. It's spiritual. And we must apply it, brothers and sisters, to ourselves and to our churches. And Habakkuk, I believe, has a great deal to teach us in this regard. So let me briefly turn then to these first four verses of Habakkuk 1. Notice how honest Habakkuk is, how real he is. He's not mincing his words. He is frank and open and even blunt with God. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. I say that Habakkuk is honest. Habakkuk is real. He's not talking in euphemisms. He's not dealing in jargon. He is opening his heart and his mind and his voice to God too. The psalmist does this. Lord, wake up, he says. Wake up. Why are you asleep? Take your arm out of your garment and do something. Take your hand out and do something, Lord. And I believe God treasures this. Reality, this honesty. Notice that Habakkuk makes his complaint to God and not to men. Cowper wrote a hymn making this point, that if we spent our breath, less on telling each other about our troubles, but spending it more directly addressing God, then we should oftener say, hear what the Lord has done for me. But we'll come to that in a moment. I say there's old covenant terms here, violence, injustice, the wrong in the nation, conflict and so on. And the law is part of life. Now, what's the equivalent for us? Well, I speak for where I am in the United Kingdom. Although many would disagree with me, perhaps, or some at least would disagree with me and say things are going like a house of fire in the United Kingdom at the moment, I don't see it. I see the gospel, gospel preaching, gospel living, gospel life, is paralyzed, weak. We're seeing very few conversions. The spiritual life of the churches of Christ, as I see it, is very low indeed and declining, and has been so for many generations now, 100 years or more in our land. There have been blips of some blessings, but the general course has been down. And if it continues like this, then the gospel cause will suffer greatly and even go out in the United Kingdom. Now, that may seem alarmist, but look at the churches of North Africa. Where are the churches of Rome and Ephesus and Philippi and Colossae today? It can happen. Look at Revelation 2 and 3. The candlestick can be removed. Judgment can come. And it's certainly my complaint. It's certainly my concern. The law is paralyzed, and I ought to pray more. And brother and sister, if you feel the same as me, we should be praying and pleading with God and crying out to him. I speak of the United Kingdom. What of the United States? What of Australia? What of Africa? What of South America? I don't know. But I feel that I'm convinced that Habakkuk speaks to us today. He is a prophet. He preached. But he's a praying man too, and that's a challenge to me. I can preach about it, I can write about it, but will I pray about it? And he prayed long about it. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. He cried out vehemently, earnestly. He's not talking about social things, primarily. It's the spiritual, it's the law, even in his social terms. I'm not appealing to the nation. I'm not appealing to the government. I'm not appealing to Parliament. I'm appealing to the churches, to the preachers, to the elders, the leaders, to all believers. Am I concerned about it? You'll find a discourse of mine on this sermon audio page on Ezekiel 9:4. God knows those who are concerned and lament and grieve over the poor state, the declining state, the iniquitous state, the sinful state of his people, and he takes note of it. I want to be among that number, that at least, if I can do nothing else, I can grieve and lament over it. I believe we're living in the days of 2 Peter 2, or Jude, or Psalm 73. I can see it. And this man, Habakkuk, complains to God. The problem, as he sees it, inverted commas, problem, the disaster is beyond human help, and so it is in our land today. I must be concerned, brother. I must be concerned, sister, and so must you. Think of the glory of God that's suffering by this decline in the churches and this weakness in gospel preaching and gospel living. Think of the sinners that are perishing without the clear knowledge of Christ. What do you mean? Well, so much of the preaching I hear, not only in this country, but throughout the world, some of the great men, when they stand to preach, they preach in an inclusive way. They seem to treat all the people in the congregation as believers when they're not. They address them as believers when they're not. This is not saving. Our preaching must divide sinners and saints in the right way, and bring sinners to the conviction of sin and confrontation with Christ and the point of trusting Christ. And we must be a preaching people that, and a living people that live for God, spiritually for God, alive for God. The law is paralyzed. It does seemed like that to me in our time. And I mean by the law here, the law of Christ, the gospel, the power of the spiritual life. And I want to be concerned for it, for the glory of God, for my own concern, and for the sake of sinners. Well, that's how I'm going to interpret Habakkuk. May he, being dead, yet speak to us again today, challenge us, probe us. Of course, the answer is going to come from God, but it won't be what Habakkuk expects. It looks to me as though we're in for judgment, but may God have better things in store for us. May we give him no rest, night and day, until he makes his people, his gospel, Christ himself, the glory that should be attached to our Saviour in our time. So may Habakkuk speak to us, even in our time now. Amen.